During this hour of Focus 580, we will talk with Mike Ross. He's the director of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, right here in Champaign-Urbana. We're going to talk about the upcoming season at Krannert, which is, there's way too much for us to cover in this hour. So I'm delighted to have Mike here to talk about this. We don't talk enough about the arts on this show, and I think this is a chance for us to focus for a while on some of the wonderful events and opportunities for people to experience them that are occurring here in Champaign-Urbana at the Krannert Center. We'll also talk about the role of arts in the community and about some of the artists who are coming to Krannert. And also, we're interested in your thoughts. So if you'd like to join the conversation, you should feel free to do so. Let me just tell you quickly before I give out the phone numbers. Mike Ross is director, as I say, of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. He came to us via the Catherine Bosch Miller Theater at Columbia University in New York City, where he was the executive director, and before that, director of artistic activity. At the Miller Theater, Mike established a critically acclaimed multi-arts presenting program of classical and contemporary music, jazz, theater, film, dance, and theater of ideas events. And he's doing much the same thing here at Krannert and is in charge of performing arts programming, both the financial and operations side of the joint and development. He has many other professional activities, and we'll mention just a few so we don't run out of time here. He serves on the boards of the American Arts Alliance, the Illinois Arts Alliance, the Association of Performing Arts Presenters, and the Composers Conference at Wellesley College. He's also currently serving on the Arts Review Committee of the Illinois Capital Development Board and is past co-chair of the Illinois Arts Alliance Statewide Conference Planning Committee. And he remains also, in addition to all that, he's active as a composer. And he attributes his experience as a professional classical, jazz, and rock musician and his interest in the literary and visual arts and broader culture history as major influences on the creative and collaborative nature of his work in arts administration. And we're glad to have you here, Mike.
It's a total pleasure. Thanks so much for the invitation.
Let me give out the phone numbers now. If you'd like to join our conversation at any point around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line anywhere you hear us, 800-222-9455. I really, literally don't know where to begin. I mean, I think that once again, you kind of outdid yourself. Every season at Krannert, there seems to be more and more great stuff happening. And for me, you know, the highlight is this wall-to-wall guitar festival, which is just kind of unbelievable. But, you know, I'll let you, whatever you want to talk about, you know, some of the highlights of the upcoming season.
Well, thanks for all the compliments, Jack. But as you know, any endeavor of this sort, and certainly on this scale, is a massive team effort. And we've got such great staff members and collaborators to work with, great supporters of the center, both on the individual and corporate side of the giving tree, but also public agencies. The Illinois State Arts Council has been very helpful to us, and the National Endowment for the Arts. But with regard to the programming itself, I really do think of the coming season as the beginning of the next big chapter in the center's history. As you may know, last year, or just this past April, the center celebrated its 36th anniversary. And that history is a glorious history. It's a fantastic history. And when I was asked some 7 years ago to consider the directorship of the Krannert Center, it was an enormous honor to be asked to do so. And I've been inspired by my time here at the center, but also as part of this community and this fantastic university. So about a year ago, I asked the staff and our constituents to begin to help us imagine what the center might feel like, look like, taste like, how it might behave when we get to the 50th anniversary mark, which was at that time 15 years out. Part of what I have found so fascinating by the input that we've been getting and the conversations that have been going on as a result of this visioning process is how freely people are able to think if we're not thinking just 3 to 5 years out or maybe even 10 years out. But when you get to that 15 sort of thing, it becomes impossible to imagine a whole sequence of steps that might get you from here to there. But what it does allow you to do is to just really think about the things that you value highly that the center already is doing, but maybe some of the things that the center isn't doing that it should be doing. So that's been a great process. But back to the coming season, I know that there are many different philosophies about how to approach programming of an arts or cultural sort. My personal view is that, I take this sort of no-brow view of aesthetics, which is to say it's not about highbrow or lowbrow or middlebrow forms or classifications of artistic creativity, but it's whether or not there's something palpably and powerfully creative, imaginative, masterful, potentially valuable to human experience. That's the driving sort of platform for me. So whether we're talking about the world of music or dance or theater or new emerging forms or whether we're talking about classical music or jazz or world musics or ballet or modern dance or culturally, ethnically grounded work of whatever sort, it is about viewing the Krannert Center in a manner that reflects the university's education, research, and public engagement mission by thinking of ourselves as simultaneously a classroom, a laboratory, and a public square. And so when you think about the opportunity that a Krannert Center can contribute to the full mix of experiences that people in this community and region have available to them, and it's a terrific mix. The Krannert Center is just one piece of a very rich mosaic of arts and cultural organizations and entities in this region, and I am inspired by the work that goes on all around, and I've enjoyed being part of the effort to establish 40 North as a very vibrant arts, culture, and entertainment council for this community and the county. And so, again, going back to next season, you mentioned the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival. I sort of think of the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival as a microcosm of the ideas that I was just expressing, broadly speaking, because the Wall-to-Wall has a lot of great artists in it. And I'd actually like to hear, and I wish you had brought your guitar, Jack, because I know you're a fantastic guitarist and I've enjoyed your own musicianship over these years. But I'd love to actually hear you talk a little bit about the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival.
Well, okay, let me just say that the list of artists in the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival, and by the way, this gets underway September 29th through October 2nd. I mean, 3 days of events, right? And we've got, you know, Sergio Oder Assad, Rory Block. Some of these I don't know, I have to admit. There's a lot of, you know, perhaps people from, you know, styles of music that I really am not familiar with, and I really am excited to you know, make their acquaintance. Elliot Fisk, Bill Frisell, who's been one of my favorites, Cocky King, Daniel Lanois, amazing player, Taj Mahal, Pat Metheny, Vernon Reed, who was in Living Color a few years ago,
right.
You know, sort of jazz fusion rock player. Andy Summers from The Police, David Tronzo, who is just another electronic musician who's amazing, Red Volkart, who's more traditional, and Dan Zanes. But those are just a handful of the names that are going to be performing, and just these amazing guitar players, all these different styles.
Yeah, it's a project that I have an enormous amount of enthusiasm for. Although I must say that people that have known me for a while or have heard me speak about any of the events that we do at Krannert Center know how passionate I am about the full array of programming. And in fact, the when I was being asked to consider coming to the University of Illinois and directing the Krannert Center, my passion and love for classical music was one of the primary ingredients. And And in the Wall to Wall Guitar Festival, Elliot Fisk, one of my favorite classical guitarists, is going to be performing as well. But the idea for the Wall to Wall Guitar Festival came about through a series of conversations that I've been having over the years with a good colleague in New York by the name of David Spellman, who runs the a thing called the New York Guitar Festival, which is sort of an ongoing year-round kind of string of events. I worked with David closely and have had the privilege of sitting on the board of the New York Guitar Festival. And when I started talking to him about doing something special around the guitar here at Krannert Center, the conversation, quickly became apparent that there were just so many artists that we would like to showcase at the center. And that just led to this notion of, well, if we're gonna do it, why not see how rich a collection of artists we could pull together? And that led to this idea of doing a multi-day festival, which, by the way, Jack, if it is successful, and the interest already in it is really encouraging, but if it is successful, we're thinking about doing it on a biennial basis. You know how fantastic the Ebert Fest has become for this community? The idea of the possibility of having a recurrent festival, although not an annual, that would be very difficult for us to logistically mount. But it's something that we have a lot of hope for. You mentioned a few of the artists, Red Volker, who's Merle Haggard's principal guitarist, so to speak. You mentioned Taj and Pat Metheny, the Assads, Bill Frisell, Andy Summers, Vernon Reed, all these folks. Jesse Harris is the guitarist and songwriter who sort of made it possible for Norah Jones to become such a great artist, emerging artist. You mentioned Kaki King. She's a fantastic young emerging artist. You mentioned Dan Zanes, who we brought to Krannert Center last season for a fantastic family event that he had been working on for quite a while. Dan was one of the founding members of the Boston rock band Del Fuegos.
Oh yeah.
And the idea of Wall to Wall is to make it possible for people not only to dig into the kinds of music that they perhaps like the most already, but also to create a complex through which one could enter into a journey of artistic exploration by experiencing the music of so many different artists from around the world. And one of the fun things that we're finding, too, is that as we talk to the guitarists themselves, they are really having fun with the idea of being together with all these other artists in our community for several days. So we're looking to position this as not only a local or regional festival, but also one that could very well attract some pretty special national and international attention.
We have a couple calls to talk with. I want to include them in our conversation. We're also going to play some music in a little bit.
Great.
But why don't we talk to some listeners first, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, that's good.
First up, someone in Urbana, line number one. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. When new people come to the community, I tell them that we have three jewels here. One is Krannert Center, one is WILL-TV, and WILL Radio, and it's so nice to see two of them put together. Just want to say that I've been attending Krannert for years and years, since the very first season, and I am so impressed of late the diversity of the offerings, and it's not just the usual, you know, it's not the usual symphony series and the chamber music series, but it's such a rich mix. I think it's also wonderful that when Krannert advertises the week in the DI, that they also include things that the music school is doing, because, you know, those of us who aren't you know, on the computer all the time. It's really nice to know what the music school is doing as well. May I offer two suggestions?
Absolutely.
Okay. The summer offerings in the theater, the only one that has ever stuck in my mind was Proof, which you did a couple years ago. That was so fantastic, and I think to myself, I know that summer is a, you know, let your hair down kind of thing, and yes, it's good to laugh and have fun, and, you know, but I wish the summer theater offerings were more inspiring and not so frivolous. And I'm a mystery fan, too. Let me say that as well.
Well, let me thanks for that suggestion, and I'm pausing here for a moment because I have enormous – I am enormously inspired by our colleagues in the theater department, in the dance department, mm-hmm. and in the School of Music, and it is – The curating, so to speak, the artistic direction of the summer series is done by the theater department and James Burton Harris in particular, and I personally have found that the last several years have been more along the lines of the mix that you are suggesting. So I think that it would be I will be sure to share your thoughts with mm-hmm. JBH, because I think he would want to know those, and I think that he would be encouraged to hear them.
I think that Proof was, you know, really the outstanding, you know, summer performance that you've done. So I just want to say thank you for the wonderful diversity that you bring to Krannert, and it's just an exciting place to be. I love the fact that you have free performances at lunchtime and sometimes in the evening. And, you know, are people welcome to come to the wine tastings even if one doesn't drink?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. Yes, the Thursday afternoon 5 o'clock wine tastings, mm-hmm. which always include information about coming events and just provide a very wonderful, relaxed forum for mm-hmm. people to converse. Those are totally open. Absolutely.
Great. Well, keep up the fantastic work.
Thanks so much for all the kind words.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. For people who have never visited Krannert, I mean, it's really a wonderful place just to be in the building. It is an amazing building, and I can't even pretend to be objective about this. It is a marvelous place.
I couldn't agree more. When I first visited the center, even though I had known about it for years and had seen photos, it is. I think it's an inspiring piece of architecture. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, we have another caller, and let's include them in our conversation. Other callers are welcome. 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana. Toll free elsewhere 800-222-9455. Next up, someone in Urbana, line number two. Good morning.
Good morning. I called to ask a partly technical and partly aesthetic question having to do with the Great Hall and the use of microphones to pick up and augment performances in the Great Hall. Mm-hmm. Has there been many technical or philosophical changes over the years about what sorts of performances benefit from being mic'd, picked up, and I'm not sure quite what to say. It has to do basically with the question of if you build a great hall with acoustics so good that on occasion I've been walking out in the lobby and can hear someone on the stage and the voice comes through an open door that's leading up to the second level of the lobby. But many performers require microphones in spite of the acoustics of the Great Hall. So I'm wondering what nationally, as well as locally, is the current thinking and practice with augmenting performances?
I would be glad to share some basic thoughts on this, but obviously the acoustics of the Great Hall, which are internationally recognized, and I could tell you some fun stories about things that fantastic performers have shared with me following their performances in the Great Hall. That those incredible acoustics are ideal for many different kinds of musics. But as is the situation at Carnegie Hall and Boston Symphony Hall, the new Disney Hall in L.A. and other places, when other kinds of musical performances other than so-called classical music performances occur, it's not just a matter of artists' preferences to use microphones, because there is a whole sort of aesthetic around the performances that utilize the microphone as part of the performance. It's hard to imagine, for example, many of the great jazz singers without imagining the microphone as part of the actual performance. At the same time, there are all kinds of challenges associated with electronically enhanced sound in almost any environment. The ones that are the most difficult to address, or the environments that are most difficult to address, are those that have, as you point out, the sort of the rich acoustical properties of those, such as the Great Hall at the at Kranert Center.
Right.
And what we try to do, obviously at times more successfully than others, is to we try to avoid the use of the Great Hall for any kind of performance that requires a substantial amount of enhancement, electronic enhancement to the sound.
Yeah, it's a hard situation because it's got the largest seating capacity, and more people will be able to enjoy someone who they really want to see here if it's in the Great Hall.
Yeah, I think what we have done over the past 2 years or so is through the arrangements with artists, the scheduling of artists, we have mostly been able to avoid putting an artist that just simply isn't right for the Great Hall acoustically into that space.
Well, I'm sorry to take more than my fair share of time.
Not at all.
Just as you get some of the responsibility for putting on plays that actually is somebody else's work, you may have to answer some technical questions. Are there people working on systems where the speakers for the sound system aren't so much blaring horns, is the only thing I can think of? If there were the equivalent of the acoustics of the hall itself in placing speakers and just increasing the sound so everybody everywhere can hear it, that would make a big difference, instead of going into a room and having two enormous speakers just blare out at you.
Right.
You wish you were farther away from the stage rather than close up to see the artist. So it's a technical question as well as an aesthetic one. I'll hang up now. Thank you for your help.
Yeah, and I do have one more comment for you, which is that we are investigating a distributed system in the Great Hall that would put numerous points of source points of sound, which could be utilized at lower volumes.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good.
For clarity's sake.
Well, I have to say, as someone who does an awful lot of audio-video work all over this campus, your sound people are just the best that I've encountered. And that's not to disparage anybody else, but you have wonderful professionals who deal with the audio in Kranert.
Thanks, Jack. And I will share that with the staffers. I think they are very sensitive to these issues and are working very hard to do to make positive change.
It's not a trivial process
not
to
at
get
all.
That right.
Not at all. It's very tricky.
Yeah. We're about our midpoint here with Mike Ross. He's a director of the Kranert Center for the Performing Arts here in Urbana-Champaign. And we're happy to take further questions from listeners. If you'd like to join us, 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. A listener also wanted me to mention the dates of the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival off the air, somebody called. And that is running through Thursday, September 29th through Sunday, October 2nd. That's, 4 days of incredible music by an incredible variety of guitar players and different genres and styles. And it's just going to be an amazing amount of fun. So those are the dates, and you can get more information from Kranert on their website or by telephone.
Actually, Jack,
our
website is under construction right now.
Okay.
We're in a transitioning on it, and we apologize for the difficulty that people may be having with it. But the calling the ticket office is always the best thing to do. 333 six two
333-6280, ticket office at Cranard. I promise we'll get to our next caller quickly, but I do want to also play some music, because we talked about doing that. This is a we're going to start with a cut from Breakestra, which is on your opening night going to be performing, at opening night, Cranard?
Yes, the opening night at Cranard Center this year will be Friday night, September 10th, and we're opening the season with a celebratory kickoff in the lobby featuring this really fun band from Los Angeles, the Breakestra.
Okay, let's hear some of that.
And now, get up, get into it, get involved. You're listening to the sounds of the Breakestra. And we have come together to help you to get your soul together. The live mixtape. Now, one thing about it, no need to be ashamed to nod your head, to clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Wow, that's not exactly highbrow.
No, it's not. It's just a really great bunch of musicians who are having a lot of fun looking back at some of the older musics and bringing in the new stuff, too. And I think that this evening will be just a big celebration, not only of the kickoff of the Cranard season, but really a celebration of the arts in our entire community. And very low price point on that one. It's $5 admission. We're just hoping that everybody in town who is arts involved will make a point of being there that night.
You're calling an opening party. It's going to be the lobby, right?
It's all in the lobby.
Yeah.
Yep. And there'll be food and beverages, and there'll be additional artists involved in the evening as well. But the Breakestra is the sort of the headline.
Wow. September 10th. Okay. Well, we have another caller to talk with. Let's do that. Someone in Urbana, line number one. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who told me some time ago that he attended the first performance given in the Great Hall, and that before the performance, everyone was asked to remain quiet while they set off some air cannons and recorded the acoustic signature of the hall. And I was wondering if those acoustic signatures were still available, and if it might be possible to get a digital copy of them.
Wow. That's something that I have not heard. Cyril Harris was the acoustician for the Cranard Center when it was being designed, along with Max Abramovitz, the architect. Cyril, who is in New York and was on the Columbia University faculty, I think Cyril is still around, and he might have a copy of that. But I will ask the staff back at the Cranard Center. And if you want to give my office a call,
okay,
333-6700, sometime in the next week or so to follow up on that, I'm hoping that we could actually find something out about that. That's a great – thank you for calling.
Yeah, it's a very exciting. I have a very nice a sound system at home, and I play things back through my home computer, and I'm able to correct for acoustic deficiencies in the room digitally. And with that technology, it's also possible to overlay the acoustic signature of any other space you have a signature for. And so I could put any other performance I have into the Great Hall.
That sounds like fun.
Yes, it is great fun. I've done that with several opera houses around the world.
Great.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. A couple callers also waiting. We'll go next to someone in Urbana. Line number two. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Hi. I want to congratulate Ross for the great job he's doing. We live several blocks from Krannert Center. Moved here a year ago, and after living 35 miles away, and one of the things that drew us here was just the chance to be able to walk out our front door and be at Krannert in 7 or 8 minutes in time for a show. And I really like the broad range of programming you're doing. I like the free things out in the lobby, the afterglows, the wine tastings. You know, there's something there for everybody, regardless of musical taste. And you know, I think it's just a huge asset, and you personally, I think, deserve a lot of credit for that.
Thank you.
I've got one, you know, suggestion. I don't know whether it's at all feasible.
Mm-hmm.
During the height of the season, you know, from November to into March, you know, my wife and I are down there at least once a week and sometimes several times a week. And Krannert gets a pretty good chunk out of our modest budget. And sometimes when you have some of the classical artists or ensembles where it really stretches us to go, and would it be possible for you, have you ever considered setting aside several rows of seats up in the nosebleed section for people who really want to hear an ensemble or an individual recital to get in at sort of rock bottom prices, $10, you know, in the top five rows of the balcony or something like that.
I really appreciate this this issue. It's one that classical music presenters are grappling with all the time. Before I arrived at Krannert Center 7 years ago, there had been many conversations of this sort. This is a really interesting and difficult issue. The decision was made to go with no tiered pricing in the hall for various reasons, which are some of which are kind of complicated. But we have on occasion made some provisions of a highly, highly discounted sort. And it's easier to do in certain kinds of formats than it is in others. And, for example, when we have the Sunday Salon series with these fabulous emerging artists that are in the classical field, we do open the balcony for very inexpensive seats. But I'm going to take the conversation back to our staff and reengage, and I really appreciate your concern.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing and think you're doing a great job. And I like to boast I will frequently come home and send emails to a list of friends who live on the coasts and boast about who I could see on stage or hear blocks from my house, no parking.
I love
it. You know, even your expensive prices, you know, compared to big city prices are modest, but it does tax us. We're public school teachers on a limited budget, and but, you know, it's a minor sort of thing. But I'm just astounded at the international performers you bring in and so on here. And it's just a huge treasure.
Well, as part of our visioning process, I'm putting together a task force on the future of classical music, and financial barriers is one of the issues. So thank you again.
Yeah. If that person lives... The person lives several blocks from Krannert. They might have actually heard one of the Kodo drummers about a month ago from their house. I mean, I was walking by Krannert that evening. I happened to be, you know, nearby.
Was it shaking?
It was rocking.
Yes.
It was. I saw them at a previous performance. I don't know. Must have been several years ago, and I didn't see it this time around. But what an experience!
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. A couple of years from now, we're going to be bringing in the drummers of Burundi as well. That'll be another great percussion event.
Wow. Well, we have another call. I promise I'll get right to them. I do want to play another cut, though. This is Taj Mahal, one of the great blues guitar players of all time. He's coming to Krannert. He's going to be there on the opening day of the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival on September 29th at 7:30 p.m., along with Mamadou Diabaté and Rory Block. And Taj Mahal is someone who has been around a long time. I don't know how old he's probably in his 70s at this point.
I'd be hard-pressed to actually put the date on. Yeah, but
yeah.
Maybe.
But like so many other guitar players, B.B. King was here in town a couple years ago and recently saw Honey Boy Edwards. And some of these, you know, the great bluesmen, they're not going to be with us that much longer. I mean, although hopefully a lot longer than I'm, you know, suggesting maybe. But let's hear some Taj Mahal, because this is a rare opportunity for folks to get it, get a taste of that. Taj Mahal. That's an amazing, amazing recording. That was Queen Bee.
He's one of the greats. Absolutely right. One of the greats.
Yeah.
Jack, if you don't mind, I wanted to get a quick word also to express my my joy in having colleagues in town here that we work with very closely at Krannert Center, in addition to our academic department colleagues in theater and dance and music. It really is a joy to have the CU Symphony in town, Ballet and Sinfonia de Camera. Right. I mean, this is really an incredible community of artists, on not just on the musical front, as you know, and with the Virginia Theater in town and the you know, the things that happen at the Assembly Hall, Station Theater, the smaller venues, the mix of things here in town on the artistic and culture side, I think is very, very special for a population of this size, and it's a great pleasure to be part of it.
Well, you raise an issue that I think is worthy dwelling on a little bit, and that's, you know, the something in the water here, perhaps, but there has always been this sort of this current of creativity here in, you know, different areas of art and culture, theater, music, dance, etc. And certainly music has been something that, I mean, this town has been so fertile in producing great artists. And I think having a place like Krannert and having the School of Music at the University of Illinois only adds to that. It sort of just feeds upon itself. And, you know, I wanted to have you talk about some of the other sort of community initiatives that you have been involved in. Instead of simply, you know, doing your thing at Krannert, you've sort of reached out and said, let's do some stuff outside of Krannert, too. And let's get some community sort of, you know, discussions and action going.
Well, thanks for mentioning that. For sure, the one of the things I've enjoyed the most about Krannert Center since I've been here is the possibilities and opportunities that an organization like Krannert Center can pursue, can explore in developing partnerships with community artists and other organizations. And maybe one of the strongest, or the strongest example of that, was last year when we did the Jazz Threads Project.
Absolutely, yes.
We pulled a fantastic group of local jazz musicians and jazz enthusiasts together to work with us in imagining a year-long celebration of jazz and the history of jazz in Champaign-Urbana. But those sorts of explorations, as well as working through 40 North, as I mentioned before, I think this is a very, very, very good reason when you're thinking about partnerships and the kinds of people we have in this community. It's a very good reason to be very optimistic about the future of this community and the growth potential that having a vibrant arts community has with regard to the broader economic development of a community such as ours. Also, you mentioned something interesting about – you mentioned the creativity, and I think that one of the – this community is not just interesting because of the artistic creativity, but also because of the, at least in my view, the scientific and engineering technology creativity that's going on in this place. And I'm a firm believer in the idea that creative energy seeks other creative energies and amplify other creative energies. And it doesn't matter what the domain of creative thinking is, whether it's in the arts or in the sciences or in the humanities more broadly or commerce, whether it's innovation, creativity, entrepreneurship. These things all blend together, in my view, and again, contribute to the specialness of this community.
By the way, a caller off the air told us that Taj Mahal is actually 63 years old, so he's still a young guy.
Yeah, that's great to know.
Yeah, definitely. He sounds timeless, though, to me, so
yeah, sure
I don't know. Yeah. We have a couple other callers waiting. Let's go to a listener on line number one on a cell phone. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
I had a couple comments. One was that I wanted to thank Mike and the Cranard staff for opening the Cranard Center over the last however many years, opening it up to more local performers, even on an informal basis in the lobby. As a amateur local performer myself, it's 20 years ago it was unfathomable that I'd even be able to step into the Cranard Center and do anything as far as performing for other folks, and that's just been a wonderful thing for the local artistic community. The second thing I wanted to get Mike to mention is the Loop program that is going on, which also gives a lot of us in the middle class tax bracket a chance to contribute to the Cranard without having to come in at $1,000 or $5,000 kind of price point. And that was really exciting, and it's been exciting for us to try to be involved in some of that. But I'm not sure how many people in the community really know about it, so I wanted to give them an opportunity to talk about that. Thanks a lot.
Wow, thanks for mentioning the Loop. I'm so glad you did. We started the Loop campaign, which is a donor campaign to help make it possible for us to do the things we do at Cranard Center for people who are capable of and interested and inspired to contribute between the $100 and $999 level. And the benefits to the Loop are also, I think, to Loop members are quite interesting and valuable. And I would encourage anybody that is interested in supporting Cranard Center in this way to, again, call my office at 333-6700. We'll put you in touch with June Holmes, who is heading up that program. She's terrific.
Okay. We have another call. We're actually getting into our last 10 minutes here, so I want to include this caller before we run out of time. This is someone in Champaign, line number three. Good morning.
Hi. This is, you know who I am, Mike. And I want to say one more thing about him. He's not only a composer and all the things you talked about, but he's a very nice guy and very helpful and very kind. And that's my comment.
Okay.
Yes, I'll hang up. And thank you for all you've done for this community and for Cranard and for your staff.
Thanks so much.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call. Yes. Well, second the motion there.
Thanks.
We have a couple callers getting lined up. Let's play some more music before we get too late in the show here.
Sure. Are we going to get a chance to hear Khaki King?
Yes.
Because she's a very young artist, emerging. She'll be performing on our No Boundaries Night together with Vernon Reed from Living Color and Andy Summers of The Police. But Khaki, I think, is a fantastic artist, so we're going to listen to a track of hers called Playing with Pink Noise, I think.
Okay. Wow, that sounds a little hard.
Yeah, that is just one guitar. Yeah, yeah. She's terrific. I know we only have a few minutes left, Jack, but I think the wall-to-wall will give people a lot of potential pleasure.
Yeah.
And there will be all kinds of things going on around the community, too. We're going to be working with local other local venues in town to have a lot of fun. I wanted to mention just one quick thing about our classical season next year, because I think it's going to be a historic season. For the first time in the center's history, we are receiving the Vienna Philharmonic under the batonship of Riccardo Muti. Yo-Yo Ma will be performing at the center. He's only performing two solo recitals next year, the other being at Carnegie Hall. He's going to be performing the Bach cello suites, and one of the most glorious voices in the classical world, Cecilia Bartoli, will be making her debut at Krannert Center as well. There are so many other great artists, but I wanted to get a chance to mention those.
Oh, that's great. We have a couple calls waiting. We'll go next to line number one, cell phone. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I just wanted to call. My daughter is at Yankee Ridge School, and the Krannert's done a great job in the last couple of years while my daughters have been there of sending artists out into the community, into the schools, so that kids who might never get to Krannert otherwise or see these artists have a chance to hear them and work with them, and we really appreciate the efforts that they make for our school kids in the community.
Thanks so much. That's part of our Creative Intersections initiative, and I really appreciate your mentioning that, too.
Well, Mark Morris particularly has been very inspiring for the kids at school, so we really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you. Well, let's move on, since we're so short of time, to another caller. We have a listener in Urbana, line number two. Good morning. Caller there? Well, maybe not. Okay. Well, actually, is the caller there?
Hello?
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was wondering if local groups like the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana and the Prairie Ensemble could, as affiliates or something, be able to perform in the Krannert Center. Is there some policy against that, or?
There's not a policy against it. This is something that's been in place long before I arrived at the center.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Excuse me. There are, because the center, there is a ton of demand on the spaces at the center, and there are something like 300 or 350 events that take place at the center every year. But the way the policies have been structured is that if an ensemble does not have a direct affiliation with either the Krannert Center per se, or the School of Music, or the theater department, or the dance department, it requires a sponsorship of one of those units for a non-affiliated performing group to gain access to the spaces of the center. And it's always, of course, even then, on an availability, space as available type basis. But that's the short answer to your question.
Other groups can affiliate themselves with the university and use its facilities, and do. And I just wondered if that could be applied to this type of group.
Those groups, I would recommend to those groups that they converse with the School of Music.
Okay, hope that gets the caller's question. We just have about 3 minutes left, and I don't know if we probably don't have time to play this last piece of music. We can play it on the way out or something.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
But I did want to ask you to talk a little bit more about this intersection between. I thought it was very interesting. You mentioned creativity in the sciences, and you know, the connection between artistic creativity and other kinds of, you know, creative energy, and also economic development. I think that we know enough now to see that when a community has a vibrant arts culture, its economy is impacted. Everything about that community is connected to the creative energy that is available.
Yeah, I think at the core of the arts and economic development thing is this notion that the arts can play a very important role, broadly speaking, as a touchstone for people to gather and to intersect and share. But beneath the level of you know, when you dig down deeper beneath the sort of the surface of the arts and sciences and commerce, et cetera, there's this underlay of creativity that is, you know, very core to, it's a very core human characteristic. And when it is able, when that characteristic is able to animate and intersect with other instances of creative juice, I think that there is something that happens in a very vibrant way that is difficult to quantify, perhaps, but is terribly important. And it, you know, in an earlier era, it may have been the case that, you know, one of the most important things, or the most important thing that would encourage a person to move to a particular community would be the affordability factor. Well, you know, people have gone beyond thinking about communities as affordable to thinking of communities as livable. But even beyond that, and I think we're a community that's actually competing internationally for talent at the university, for talent for the local business community, for civic leadership, etc. And I think that the communities that are attracting the attention of people seriously to move into are communities that are showing an unusual level of creative vibrancy.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're at the point where we're going to have to stop, and I want to make sure that we mention for folks, if they want to get more information, call your ticket office.
333-6280.
Okay, and the season gets underway September 10th, and of course you have things going on this summer as well.
Oh, yeah, don't miss the summer studio theater stuff, the jazz stuff that the School of Music is putting on, et cetera. So all that information is available through the box office.
Yes, and certainly if you wanted to get the brochure, which is always a very aesthetically produced piece as well, then I'm sure you can get that at Cranard as well.
Yep, so. Yeah. Would be glad for people to come and pick up a batch and share them with friends.
I'm sorry to say we're going to have to stop there. Our guest has been Mike Ross, director of the Cranard Center for the Performing Arts. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thanks so much, Jack. It's been a pleasure.